So what's been happening in your part of France?
In Paris, around, we start doing something. We were at around 10 people 1 year and a half ago, but we just knew that nobody was aware about transition. We knew that, so we tried first to raise the consciousness of the knowledge about transition, and it means that we can say we start by creating a hub about a regional hub about transition in Paris and the region around Paris, which is called Île-de-France. And then slowly some groups came up, like in the suburb, quite far, Saint-Quentin-en-Yvelines, which is west, and 20 kilometers west, and Sucy-en-Brie. And then now we can say there are 10 groups built in Paris and suburb. Two downtown inside Paris, and the 15th arrondissement. Arrondissement is like a district. And then the 12th arrondissement.
Yeah.
It's mine. And the other in suburb, close suburb. That's all. What may I say more? That we are very young. Young in imagination. I mean, the groups are young. And we are facing a really big problem about the concentration of population, because Paris itself inside it's 2 million people without any space, any green space. So when we will have remove all the stupid cars, we'll find some space for making interesting things, but we still have a lot of cars in Paris. And then what else? We need also a regional thinking about on the regional level, because for transportation, for the food, for many aspects of resilience, the regional level is mandatory. Also because the local authorities, regional authorities have got some power to help in thinking, perhaps in financing, or for us in some scheme. So it's good to have a glance on the regional level and another on the local grassroots level. We'll try to manage the boss without failing.
Good. I mean, do you want to say something about the kind of projects that are happening on the ground?
I will, but it will be more a theoretical project, because it's quite new. Now, in the 15th arrondissement, but Thomas is here. I can show. Perhaps you meet him, Thomas, the guy from.
Probably.
They created their group associated to a CSA, in French, yep. We say something else, but it's like a CSA.
Yep.
And
community supported agriculture project.
Yeah. And so it was easier, because they were already around 20 people very much engaged in the CSA, and quickly concerned about transition as well. And it's mostly about food or cooking and common garden. They find a place where they will start a common garden, a collective garden. And in the 12th arrondissement, we have an opportunity to participate in a common workshop about repairing bicycle. So, and it's quite interesting. Perhaps you heard about the Vélorussian. It's a critical mass in French.
Right.
And they got a place to repair a bicycle just beside our place. So we have some links on trying to make that. I think it's a good idea, because everybody needs, in Paris now, the bicycle is very widespread. Since 10 years it has. Since 10 years the bicycle has been spread quite a lot, and many more and more people do have a bicycle, but find troubles to repair it, and there are not so many shops, and it's sometimes expensive. So by such a common workshop, collective workshop, it's a good way to reach people who are not activists at all, who just want first to have a good bicycle, and then you can engage talks and activism work to make them more conscious about all around bicycling.
Good stuff. in France, compared with the UK, we have the impression that the kind of the local government is more kind of directly accountable to the local population and has more say and is less dominated by central government. I don't know if you'd like to say anything about the relationship you might or might not have with the local government.
It's a big concern for France. Even the political situation in France is not so funny, but we still have a Green Party, which in Paris it's around 20% of the votation, which is not so bad. But even with them, we feel quite close to them, even if sometimes it's not so easy. But we all have the strong convince that we should not be helped, obviously, by political parties, any one of them. Because in the French population, you have a big reluctance or defiance, I don't know how to say that in proper English, against the political people. Yeah. And if a party is shown as an help for transition, it means that all the other people who are reluctant or in fear beside politics, they just will fly away. So what we call inclusion cannot be possible with political parties, even with the Green Party. Yeah. So we had contacts with them. They wanted to meet us, and we say we talked of meeting, and they said, "What can we do for transition?" And we answered, "Nothing. Please, don't do anything. be very discreet." Or they had sometimes to give a room for meetings or for big meetings. They can help us to get rooms from the mairie de Paris, but that's all. We don't need money now. We need to be more strong, more numerous, and then we'll see. But up to now, no obvious political help.
What sort of things are you doing at the moment? Like, are you showing films? Are you doing workshops?
Oh, in my place, it's only since 2 months only it's started, so it's very, very new. We plan in September for the new year. We plan to have a monthly meeting in a social cafe, sort of association which is leading a cafe open to the population. Mm-hmm. So this will be an opportunity to show films or to have conferences and debate and use the transition tools like Open Space or what I've seen today, mm-hmm. the fish bowl, you say, which is quite
fish bowl.
I didn't know that. It's quite interesting. So it's a good way not to have a boring and conferences which make you asleep, but to show new tools and new way of sharing ideas and preparing concrete action. Mm. And the 15th around this month, they already started lectures group, lectures workshop about the transition handbook, which is now in French.
Mm-hmm. But it is published in French?
Yeah, since 1 year now. It happened last year. It's quite big book, it's the same amount of knowledge than in the English version. And it's not so easy for many people to read it. It's quite big and more people have no time. Mm-hmm. So they started a reading workshop so that everybody mm-hmm. can present a part of the book and then discuss it with the other. Mm-hmm. So it's a good help. But it's not a Bible. Eh? In France, we take care to say that transition is not a sect. You say sect mm-hmm. in English? Mm-hmm. Because many people in the activist movement say, "What is transition? What is this guy? You rob something. He looks like a guru." And so we take care to show that it's only a movement like many others.
From the hub level, is the hub is still functioning?
Yeah, we try to have every 2 months a meeting with either movie or conference. Okay. But in Paris, we are quite lucky because many important with bracket, we can't see them, but important people pass through Paris to get plane or to come from. For instance, last year we had Nicole Foss. She's Canadian. She's a Canadian journalist, and she's very much involved in the financial crash, explaining how it could come. And so, and she speaks quite good French as well. So she made a conference about that.
So the people, for example, in Ireland, these 12 and 15. They were people who were participating in the vote,
all together,
and then took the decision to go more local in the neighborhood.
Since the beginning, we knew that the real transition has to be done at the local level, but we knew that we couldn't because we had to gather more people.
Exactly.
So we started at the regional level with such type of meetings. But now, since I tell you 1 year in the 15th and 2 months in the 12th and many other months in other places, the local groups are starting. Yeah. So it's a really a beginning. But also we had the opportunity to... what's his name? I forget. Gregory Green, who made The End of Suburbia. He's also Canadian, and he also speaks quite French. And he came with a version of his movie, subtitled in French. And so we had a good projection, many people, and talks. That was interesting. Also, Nils Aguilar, you know him? He's from Germany. He's half German, half Spanish, half French, half many, many countries. And he just finished a movie called Transition... Transition Culture, I guess. Mm-hmm. I will show he's here.
Okay.
And it's translated in many languages. And we made a... Ralph, help me. And we made a special presentation.
Is it 15, is it?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's 18. What's the title of the movie from Nils?
Culture
in Transition. Yeah, that's it. It's an informal interview about how transition is... getting worse or getting better in Paris.
Big cities.
Yeah, in big cities.
Your sign.
Yeah,
because talk to me about big cities.
Jesus, but also big cities.
Yeah, but I'll let you talk. That's fine.
No, I said all what I could say. Now it's your turn.
And but a few other things. One is because in Catalonia, there's a very strong de croissance, de growth, de crescimento, de crescimento in Catalan. That movement is already very strong. How does transition connect with the croissance?
You know the French people. You put the finger on the painful point. Now the décroissance, as we call in French, or now they say objecteur de croissance, which means we have an objection. Well, anyway, it's décroissance. Those people are existing since 2004. Before, of course, but they're organized, politically organized since. 6-7 years now, but there still remain 300 people all over France, because they are fighting each other like French people can do. And now you have 4 parties for that, so it's very a nightmare. But when transition came, they say, oh, transition, what that? We are doing transition first. And there are, by some décroissant people, there are some stupid idea that it's concurrence.
Competitiveness.
Also, the main critics we heard against transition from many left-sided French activists is that it's not political. They say you're not anti-capitalist. You should be. You don't say décroissance. You don't say capitalist is bad. So you are not interesting. And we try just to say that if we want to be inclusive, that means to make as much people as possible interested in transition, we should take care of which word we use. My conviction is that it's deeply anti-capitalist as a movement. You can't, can't endure a transition. It's all against capitalism. But if you say that, then many, many people will fly
exactly.
away. And it's difficult to make that in the consciousness of many French left-sided activists.
And degrowth is already a movement which is sufficiently biased. So if you mention degrowth, they put you in a corner and they put a kind of button on your
stamp.
Your stamp.
Yeah. It's a very, very aggressive word.
The transition is quite close to that, but transition is not stamped. Mm-hmm. And we are aware of that. We could get a stamp, and we don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we are working hard. Mm-hmm.
And in Sheffield? How did Sheffield grow and what's going on?
It kind of grew and, we started off a citywide group, 6 of us, a few years back now. We did.
As an initiative or as a hub?
As a citywide. Well, initially it was just one group in Sheffield, and it was Transition Sheffield. And we did a whole load of film screenings in. And we basically, the areas we did them in, local areas we did them in, were areas where we were, you know. So there's some in my area, some in other people who are involved areas. And, so we did some film screening. After a while, some local groups got going and started doing actual projects like around allotments and setting up a community sports agriculture scheme and other things like that. And then the people that were the kind of the Sheffield Hub group got kind of a bit fed up of the meetings, and that dissolved itself, the hub group, for a while. And then it was just stuff going on locally, and some local groups are more active than others. And
as local transition initiatives, so or yeah. just like someone being involved with the garden because that's what they were into.
As local transition initiatives, okay. But and I mean, all the, most of the projects that came out of the transition groups became kind of autonomous projects that ran under a different name. Like, you know, the CSA project doesn't have transition in its name, for example. Mm-hmm. And then there kind of there was obviously a need for some citywide stuff because no one knew what was happening in other parts of the city. So for a while now there've been kind of citywide kind of get-togethers around different issues, and the next one's going to be a kind of a party, and we're using quite a big kind of friendly cafe for doing those in. When we started off the citywide thing, we set up kind of a lot of internet infrastructure citywide. So it's all Transition Sheffield, and we're only listed on the kind of global site as Transition Sheffield, even though actually the local groups, you know, are more active. But yeah, we've got, you know, email lists, a forum, a wiki, and stuff like that at a citywide level that everyone uses. You know, yeah, a lot more could be done, but people have been busy with other stuff. And I think the kind of the economic recession and collapse has kind of slightly pulled, you know, when that kicked in a couple of years ago, it slightly pulled the rug from under transition, I think. It's still going. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say.
If you want to hear,
we have. I was thinking about another concern we have in not only in Paris, but I guess all over France. There is also a national hub, created 1 year ago.
Where is it based?
It's not really a hub. Yeah, it's a 10 people
informal coordination group.
Yeah, okay. You're right. That's very right. Yeah, it's 10 people who are the oldest, the more ancient in transition, and they have the sort of legitimacy to say, okay, before having a hub, we will be the correspondent for the English transition. But as often in France, there are some starting of debates or conflicts and fights or about who will be the
power.
And so we try to think about other ways of organizing groups, not according to the election way, which is very usual in French association, or you have to vote to elect a president, a secretary, and then if you are not elected, you will be very sad and your partisan will cry and it will make a lot of noise. And so we think it's better to find something else, because elections are not very, very interesting. And we heard about sociocracy, perhaps you know that. Sociocracy and holacracy. It's another way. Did you heard about the other way of trying to organize groups, mainly based on non-violence communication, which is, I don't know what you said in English, but and trying to gather the collective mindless intelligence of people and to find a way of with a lot of discussion, a lot of attention, trying to avoid conflict, but not to hide the conflict, just to find them, to put them clearly on the table, to discuss about and to go further in a positive way. So, for instance, in sociocracy, they have a very interesting tool. I just discovered it a few months ago. It's an election without candidates. It means that when you have to name somebody at a special task, sometimes it happens, or represent you, or to do any kind of task, instead of making an election, which will lead to what I said before, conflicts and disappointing and so on, people are writing on a paper their own name, and then the name of the people they want to be named, because they will say, and then they have to explain why they choose this guy. So it's a very positive way of choosing people, because you don't speak about the bad. Bad aspect of the people, or you don't try to disagree or discredit the opposite adversary. Just try to find the good aspect of the people you want to choose, and you just debate about that. So,
can can I ask you a question about the people participating in the local initiatives in the hubs? Are they mostly from Sheffield or English, or in your case, mostly from France?
We have good exceptions. We have.
I think in the very first generation of people, you had a lot of foreigners, yeah. Which is probably due to the fact that the transition handbook. So in a case that like that, the manual of how the whole thing works. Is available in French only since now,
June,
like 9 months.
Yeah.
So before it was only available to those who were speaking. Well, he knew about it and who were able to speak English and to read it. And so, like the very first generation, were a lot of Americans, Brits, I'm German. And then you had a few French people.
Okay. But
in Sheffield, from memory, we were all English, but I don't think any of us grew up in Sheffield. Okay. But most of us had been there a very long time.
Yeah.
And
so it was a home.
Yeah, you know, like 20 years kind of thing. And most people were had been involved in other activism already. Yeah, so they were like, you know, people had done quite a lot of other kind of activism already. You're going to tell us about Barcelona?
Yeah, where is this question? It's as if it was the same also in Catalonia.
In Barcelona, it's been... in Barcelona, initially, it's been Los Giris, no? Normally, the Giris are the English speakers from outside, no? People like me from Ireland or England or whatever, but our group was primarily outsiders. Now thankfully it's more and more Catalans are starting to get involved, and Spanish or Spanish living in Barcelona. We've been going about maybe 2.5 years, and we formed as a hub group, because Barcelona, big city, 3-4 million people, formed as a hub, putting on films, doing things, everybody in their own individual world still doing different things. Like, I was involved with community gardens and stuff like that, and there's a lot of different things going on in Barcelona. It's a very culturally and politically and movement wise a rich place, but now I think really in the last half year things have really got a lot better for us. It seems that it's kind of taken a while for us to understand what our mission and vision is and how we're trying to bring about change and, like, I suppose developing strategy. So now, just in the last about maybe 6 weeks, the first actual local initiative within the city has formed in the barrio, the neighbourhood of San Martí and La Verneda, I think it is, because we just saw San Martí, no? And that's come from one of the guys in the group who's Catalan. He's developing this in his own barrio. It's where he's lived all his life, etc., etc. So it's super, super local. And it's a very, very interesting part of the city in terms of its makeup, its history, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So that's great, and we're really happy about that. As well, just recently we've set up... I suppose we set ourselves up as a different sort of entity from just being a loose group, sort of legal standing. So I don't know exactly what we are, whether it's but we've got a president and we've got this but that entitles us to a small little amount of funding and making better connections with council and stuff like that. So for example, we set up a 6-week training program in the Fábrica del Sol, which is the Sun factory, which is an old factory of sorts, which have got a huge solar panels on the roof, and it's like a museum telling people about sun solar systems and energy and stuff. So it's one of these kind of eco points in the city. The first 6-week training was in there. It was free. I think maybe
6 weeks.
Yeah. And it was the first time, because our group is maybe about 14 or 15 participants, and now it's probably about half Catalan, non-Catalan. And that was good because people had to basically get ready to start training and actually, how do we do this? And so that was a very good thing for us. It went down really well with the council and the Fábrica del Sol. The people who did it seemed to have been very happy. That's brought some more people into the group. And now more civic centres want to have that training done in other barrios of Barcelona. Barcelona.
Who's still living this training?
The transition group, the hub group, people in the hub group. So basically, there were six different.
Trainers?
No.
You just do.
This is not transition training. This is a 6-week education course about the basics of transition. It's not a transition training.
6 weeks? How can you?
What do you do in 6 weeks?
Yeah. Different people looked at different parts. So one person, they did it in groups of two. So I couldn't get to any because of work, but I missed them. So maybe 1 week was looking at vision, another week maybe looking at climate change, then later on leading into actually what can be done, and just giving people a bit of the basics in the hope of exciting, because most people that signed up to it had never heard of.
What does it mean 6 weeks? Does it mean you meet once per week for three hours? Or?
Every Friday for 2 hours in this building. Okay. There was a 2-week course, a free course about this ecological idea, this transition thing. Okay. So different people from different parts of the city came to Barcelona at the little triangular neighbourhood by the sea to do this education, 6-week education course. Now the different, because Barcelona has a very strong sense of the different districts, and they're broken into different barrios, the neighbourhoods. It's still got a very strong sense of neighbourhoods, take very strong identity about their neighbourhoods, where they're from. They still have the local markets in nearly every barrio. They still have their own local barrio festivals that existed forever, bar the times of fascism when it was illegal, obviously, to be doing that sort of stuff. But so that's good, because now we're having discussions about how can we see that the hub's role has been to just spread word about this transition idea. In the hope that local groups will start to form as local initiatives, and that then at the barrio, or initially they always say at the barrio local neighbourhood level, that they'll form as an autonomous group to just get up and start doing their thing. So we're very happy that one is formed in San Martí with Ricard and some of the other people there. The weekend that we kicked off was lovely because it was the barrio festival. So there was all stuff happening anyway in the neighbourhood. Thursday we showed the Cuba film in the Civic Centre. Friday we gave a talk about eco-urbanism and architecture, and actually a vision of Barcelona 2030 ? And basically that was a two-part thing, because Friday we just talked about certain ideas, urban ideas, and then Saturday we did a bike ride. So we met up on the beach and we went on a slow bike ride, gone through Parque Ciutadella, which is like the kind of green central green space of the city, and then moving up along a proposed greenway that we've been looking at to end up in San Martí to plug in with the local party, which was great fun. Sunday then there was an alternative currency, so with Stefan, that guy, the German lad, local currencies, etc. So that's kicked it off, and now it's going on its own steam, So hopefully more of that will start to happen. And the last meeting we had just last Wednesday, talking about the fact that this training program might be a very, very good tool for us to really develop transition in Barcelona, because as more and more people start to hear about it, for example, someone's in Clot, and they might say, hey, I want to bring this to Clot, I want to try to set up initiative in my barrio. So this is a very good tool to actually get them with some of the transition hub group to set up this 6-week course in the civic centre or similar sort of centre, library maybe, whatever, and that hopefully will be the spark that will get people in that area up and running and forming their own local initiative. So that's kind of structural side. It's quite a few of us involved in community gardens. It's slowly starting to get bigger and bigger. Barcelona is a very interesting city for different reasons now. It's politically, they say it's the last city in Europe in living memory to have gone through full-on revolution, which was anarchist revolution, which was actually doing lots of things which transition is talking about doing. Alternative currencies, food production, distribution, healthy communication, etc. As well as that, last year was the Cerdà year. Cerdà is the Eixample plan. It's 150 years since Barcelona developed out of the constraints of the big wall that was built around it. So the old town, that small little area, it only takes 20 minutes to walk side to side. That was Barcelona, the extremity of Barcelona 150 years ago. The walls came down, the Cerdà plan, which is the gridiron system. the original plan was for a green zone inside every square, and it was very it was a visionary project from a radical socialist engineer, which was incorporating services, etc., etc. But speculation they all got filled in, and now they're starting to recuperate and open up some of the inside spaces of this Pro Eixample, the Cerdà's plan. But just as nice little outside spaces, which is great because we live in a very, very grey city. Mm. Within the city area, at the end, like the city stops, and then you're in the hills, and like literally you get wild boar coming down from Colzarola Hills, eating the at the edge of the city. You know, so Obelix and Asterix would be going down running after them. But actually looking at ideally we'd love to look at an Eixample block. To take it as a kind of an experimental model and actually look at a bit of food production there, maybe looking at vertical walls, energy harvesting, energy or water cleaning, etc., etc. So that's some of it. One of the things we're looking at, like Barcelona is, you know, it's a very compact city, it's one of the most densest cities in the world, but we feel that the Barcelona Council, Barcelona City, feel has been a kind of urban leader at many stages in its history. It's opened up new ways of, absolutely new ways of thinking and making architecture, no? For different ways. But we feel that the city and the whole vision for the city has got very stale. You know, the powers in Barcelona, they've nothing new to say. You know, they're just almost whoring out the city to get tourists to fly in, blah, blah, blah. You know, and even city people are getting really angry about the fact that they are just being pushed aside to make way from bigger and richer, more things to attract the tourists. So, actually, Barcelona could be in a good position to actually demonstrate a new, more sustainable, more transition view of actually what a more sustainable city might look like. The other side of things, then, because of the economic crisis in Spain, which is atrocious at the moment, like. It's the worst unemployment in Europe, 20% unemployment. Catalonia a little bit less, Barcelona a little bit less because of that tourist factor. But half the youth are unemployed. Like one in two of the young from 18 to 30 is unemployed and have no hope, and it's actually getting worse, of any chance of getting employment. People are fed up of what they see as being quite a corrupt political system and a restrictive, not a truly democratic system. So with that, with the anger and the frustration, basically it's what led on the 15th of May to what's now the Spanish Revolution, that's what it's been called. And that's just sparked into something very, very, very positive, healthy. It's completely peaceful despite attacks from police at times. 150 people have been injured in Barcelona from rubber bullets and beatings by the Mossos and other police, but severe police repression. But The last demonstration in the streets had 250,000 people, and people who've been there a long, long time say this is growing to like that, at that level of where everybody was on board. That hasn't been seen since before the outbreak of the war in Iraq, and thankfully it's starting to spread. You know, it's going to other countries because we're all in this economic mess. But within crisis lies the opportunity. So, you know, maybe things have got so bad that this is actually the kind of yin yang, this is what's coming back. It's very, very interesting, and it's really healthy. For example, you know, until last week there was people living in Plaza Catalunya. They took out the fancy little flowers of the square. This is the main square in the middle of the city. They took out all the fancy flowers to build a permacultural based garden to talk about food production. For a lot of people, even though there's a lot of really politically
Plaza
aware
Plaza Catalunya, and they left them do.
Yeah, because it was occupied since the 15th of May. There was people living in the square from 15th of May
really?
Until last
they,
week.
They stopped somewhere in between.
Yeah, there was a call. There was a call to dismount the acampadas, the camping protests. Madrid decamped. Basically, the call was to take it from the big square, the big main square, like Puerta del Sol in Madrid, and to go back to the barrios, to bring it back to the local, because not everybody can get time off to go in to do it, you know. It was a big effort, and a lot of people put a lot of energy in for a few days, but if you're tired, life has to go on, you know. There's lots of different sorts of people participating. In Barcelona, there's quite a big squat activist community in Barcelona. Quite a lot of them, not all of them, but quite a lot of them, wish to keep it going in Plaza Catalunya, and they had the right to do so. It was agreed in the assembly, etc. So they were there until last week, until an eviction at 2:30 in the morning. So the police arrived, they evicted the people, and they took out the garden. But in that time, you know, the garden was one of the things that... Because a lot of people... This is one of the strange things that happened. A lot of people heard about this weird protest going on, both local Spanish people, Catalan people, but also foreigners are coming through. They go down in a kind of cynical way, these kind of, you know, mad hippies, whatever. But then actually start going, woof, this is really something, and getting it very, very quickly, and then quite quickly actually becoming participants in this Spanish Revolution. And it's amazing to see how much it grew, how quickly. Like in the first week, there were 650 places around the planet either doing solidarity actions or inspired and setting up their own thing locally in most continents, if not all continents. Kenya, a load of Latin America, no? So it's really, it's very interesting. Anyway, not too many people were really getting, because I think still in Catalonia, I think the kind of ecological end is almost kind of seen as being something far, far away and not really that important. It's something you just sort of, add on. No, it's not really political. Whereas I think this the acampada, especially through the garden being in the square, because people are going, why is there a garden here? What's that got to do with the economic crisis? But then little by little, bringing in all the issues that transition is talking about, people going, okay. So now people have gone from Plaza Catalunya back to the local neighbourhoods where there's assemblies, all are autonomous. If there's big calls for an action to come together, people are coming together, like in June 19th with 250,000 people. You know, but now, for example, in my barrio, people are looking around for spots, because there's all different commissions, to grow food, as well as the other commissions.
Is this a Barcelona-specific issue, or it happens a bit all around Spain?
For us in Plaza Catalunya, we took out the flowers. It was an already green space, but it was just fancy little flowers. You know, it's nice to see fancy flowers, better than just concrete. But we said, no, make it a food production zone. Make it, you know, so... But in Puerto del Sol in Madrid, they actually dug out the stone or the concrete of the floor to put in earth and to actually build a garden. They stuck a garden in to the middle of the square, which, you know. But a lot of different things happening all in the different parts of Spain with the acampada. So now they're all marching towards Madrid. So, but anyway, for me, I think it's been a very big step for. It's a great example or development of resilience, no? Community resilience. And a lot of people have been really moved quite profoundly in a short space of time, no? Like after the police violence on 27th of May, you know, there was, 10,000 people in the square that night. Like the whole square, all the streets around were blocked off, you know? So it's very interesting. And I think now the fact that transition seems to be kind of going on a bit of an upward curve after kind of, for me, being, I suppose... I felt it was kind of gone down, it was getting a bit lost, and maybe too much inward analysis. I thought it was more just, you know, our role is just get the ideas out there and assist people to set up their initiatives. Now the fact that things are growing, we've got the education thing, and now the fact that the local neighbourhoods are so fired up, that there's so many people coming together, things are a really opportune moment to plug in further, which we're starting to do, you know. So I think it's a really exciting moment for Barcelona.
Definitely.
So indignant. We're indignant and we're resilient.
Are you thirsty as well?
Huh?
Are you thirsty? Thirsty, how do you say?
Thirsty.
Thirsty.
Okay, sweat?
Yeah, a soifé.
A soifé.
Some beer.
Yes, beer.
Beer time.